I think I'm on. Yes, I'm on. Everybody can hear me? No, you can't hear me.
Yes, we can.
Now you can hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, okay, we're good. You're just messing with me. Okay, so thank you for having me this morning. I'll be giving a quick update on the community youth, just explaining a little bit about the ministry, as Kirsten mentioned. And then Rob and Kyla have asked me to speak on the theme that you're going through as a church, on expecting transformation. And so right away when I heard that was the theme, I was like, awesome. I love transformation, and I'm going to specifically speak from John 17, where Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So we'll get right into that. The community youth is a youth ministry in Esquimalt. I almost said BC, but when I'm speaking to other churches, you have to explain where Esquimalt is, but obviously you guys know where Esquimalt is. And we reach out to youth there. The pastors in the area saw need amongst the youth. There's about 1,300 youth between the ages of 10 and 19 in Esquimalt. And there's just a number of small churches there, and they kind of saw they weren't really reaching the youth, so they decided, hey, what can we do to partner together to make this happen? And they phoned Candace and I and said, hey, what would you guys think about moving back to Esquimalt and sort of heading up this ministry as community youth pastors, as missionaries to youth in the area? So we've been here in Esquimalt doing that for 7 years now. And the ministry revolves around, if you can imagine, a dartboard. The bullseye of the dartboard is John 10:10, where Jesus says that the thief has come to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come, in direct opposition to that, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So our bullseye for youth in Esquimalt is that they'd be living the full and abundant life that Jesus gives. And then we work out from that bullseye to the next ring around, you know, the dartboard, the next ring around the bullseye is a connection relationship. So we develop mentorships or discipleship relationships. We probably use that term in the church. And then the next ring around that is causes. So we challenge youth to engage in compassionate causes locally and then in local things that also affect global things as well. And the outer ring is just contact. So we have full and abundant life, connections, causes, and context. And context is just getting to know the youth. When we began in youth ministry, there was maybe a couple of youth in each of the churches, if that, and we didn't know any youth in the area. So we just began making contacts, and now we have a weekly youth group. We take youth to camps and retreats. We have a discipleship night, and we have mentoring with youth, and we run a breakfast program daily at Esquimalt High School. If you want to know a little bit more about the ministry, right on the back table there's sign-up sheets for our newsletter we send out every month, prayer requests, pictures, and updates of stuff that's going on. Also, Rob asked me to make up another sign-up sheet. So yeah, if you'd like to get the newsletter and pray, please sign up for that. Take a prayer card. We've got some in the back as well. Rob also asked me to make up another sign-up sheet because at our youth group nights, we have dinner together. Something that God's really laid on our hearts for the youth that we work with is that there's a need in the area of family. And we thought, okay, well, we can't replace anybody's family, nor do we want to, but we can have an atmosphere as a youth group that helps to meet that type of need. God says in Psalm 68:5 that he's a father to the fatherless, and that he sets the lonely in families. So I was like, okay, we can do this. So we eat dinner together, kind of as a family, and we talk together and that type of stuff. And so we need people that are willing to make dinners about once a month, or it could be less than once a month. So if you have a small group, or even just a couple of people, or even just one person that wants to make dinner for, you know, 10 to 15 people on a Monday night, once a month, or less than once a month, you can just put your name down. Not committing if you sign that dotted line, it's not like that's it. Just for more information, Rob just wanted to put that out there to invite the church to get more involved in that. And I want to thank you as a church for your prayers for us, for your financial giving, for your encouragement. Man, I can't tell you, Rob phones me and encourages me more than like anybody. I'm like, hey, you should be in a Esquimalt, like move the church over here. He's always phoning me. He's told me numerous times that he's spoken from here, from this place, about the space that we've been kind of pursuing. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
Okay, so right now that's on pause. Basically, it came to a point, and this is the last update that I'll give, and then I'll kind of move into the sermon. It came to a point where we realized to do everything we needed to do in that space is going to be at least $100,000. And so I was talking with the owner, and he's a Christian guy, and just like God-fearing guy, wants to see youth reached. And he's like, yeah, you can still do it here. But he's like, I'm not sure if this is what, you know, like if this is wise, like maybe there's something else there. So we're kind of just asking the Lord for discernment right now, because it seems like we just hit pause because we're not sure what the next step is as far as the physical space. I was really discouraged before Christmas. This all came out kind of 2 weeks before Christmas. And I was like, yeah. And then I thought, you know what? If our calling as believers is to go and make disciples of all nations and to baptize them and teach them to obey everything that the Father's commanded, I was like, well, we can still do that. And then the space, as it unfolds, we'll just wait for God's discernment on that, and we'll continue doing what we're already doing, reaching out to you. So if you can pray for us for discernment in that area, it'd be really appreciated. Okay. At our youth nights, we obviously speak about Jesus. So we talk about his life and his teachings. In fact, we do a breakfast program at the high school, and I'm very clear with the high school, we're not going to invite kids directly from the breakfast program to youth group, because you need to be aware at youth group that there's a strong spiritual component to what we do. We talk about Jesus, we talk about his life and teachings. Everybody's welcome there from different faiths, different orientations, and all the rest, but these are the teachings, and this is the truth that we hold to. And they're like, okay, that's fine, just, you know, keep breakfast program here, and then that's over there, even though most of the kids from breakfast program do come to youth group at one point or another, whether they're invited or not. When we were speaking at our youth group over the last little while, we came to one topic. We were talking about the life of Jesus, and we talked about what did he do with his last words? Because last words are so important, right? Like when somebody's about to die, if you've ever been in the room with somebody who's dying, usually they're not just like, oh, did the Red Sox win? You know, how'd that game go on the weekend? Like it's usually really important stuff. They're usually thinking about their words. If they're still sort of their cognitive function is still fully there, they're usually saying things that are important. You know, they're saying goodbyes, and they're saying I love you, and they're saying do this, you know, make me proud in this area, or carry this on. We see in John 17, Jesus' final prayer, or sometimes called his high priestly prayer. You can turn there if you want, John 17. Basically, just going to be John 17, verse 17. That's where we're going to hang out. So he's leaving some of his final instructions before his death in the chapters preceding this. And then he concludes all of this with a prayer. So he's got his final words leading up to kind of his arrest because he knows what's coming. And then he concludes that with a prayer. And he prays through these different things. He's praying for his disciples that are alive at that time. And he's praying for his disciples that will come after them, which are us, right? And one of the things he prays in John 17 is, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So, Father, I ask that you would open your word to us today. Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you want to say to us this morning. And that we would not only hear your word, but that we would allow it to transform us as we obey it, and as we soak it in, and as we take joy in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I mentioned before, Pastor Rob and Kyla asked that I kind of speak on this topic of transformation. And when we're talking about transformation, we're talking about inward transformation, and that's what we're talking about is sanctification. Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So sanctification is just becoming more and more set apart, becoming more and more just being used for the purposes that God has for you. So the word that I think about when I think about sanctification, if you look at the implements that were used in the temple, right? They hacked the cow's head off, or however they kill it, they put it on the altar, and they've got all these forks and stuff to fry it up. And it says that those tools were sanctified. They were set apart just for that purpose. Like, it's not like the priest would do all the sacrifices and use all the right tools and do it all the right way, and then take them home and have a barbecue in his backyard using the same stuff. Right? Like, he wouldn't take all that stuff. It was set apart just for those uses, set apart just for the things that God had for him. So when we're talking about inward sanctification, we're talking about being sanctified by the word, we're talking about being set apart just for the things that God has for us. And I'm not just talking about being better morally. I'm talking about, that's part of it for sure, being more and more like Christ is the main point of sanctification, but being set apart just for the things that he has for us, just for the things that we're meant to be doing, becoming more and more like Christ. So we can expect transformation, we can expect sanctification when we get into the word. But why is that? Why is Jesus praying that we be sanctified, that we be inwardly transformed by the word? What is it? How does the word bring transformation in our life? How can words printed on a page, or words that we hear either spoken or we listen to a recording of the Bible, How can that bring transformation and sanctification in our life? The word is so powerful to bring transformation because of its source, because of its source, because of where it comes from, because it's the word of God. The word brings transformation because of who speaks the word, who has breathed the word. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Another translation puts it this way, that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives, as corrects us when we're wrong, and teaches us to do what is right. God is the ultimate author of these words. So it's the source of where these words come from that brings the transformation, that we can expect transformation, because when we open this book, we're reading words that are breathed out by God. Not only does he breathe out these words, but he sits with us and he opens our minds to understand them, to perceive them, and to then apply them to our lives and to obey them. So when we're talking about, you know, the source of God's word and the breath that is breathed out, then that's called inspiration. God's inspired us. And now we're talking about something that's called illumination. You know when the lights go on? It's illumination. That's what God does for us when we're in his word. He flicks on the lights so that we can understand it, so that we can perceive it, so that we can apply it. Illumination, inspiration. It's kind of like if you're sitting down and watching a movie. Okay, is anybody here called movies films? Be honest. Okay, busted. Okay, so our friendship just took like a little bit of a hit. But people who call movies films, right? You're sitting there and you're trying to understand it and the motifs and the themes and like the cinematography and all this stuff, right? If you're sitting down watching a movie and the director's sitting on one side of you and the writer's sitting on the other side of you, how much better do you think you're going to understand what's written? How much better do you think you're going to understand what you're seeing? And this is what God's saying he's going to do with us. When we open his word, that he's going to sit with us, and he's going to illuminate it. He's going to flip the lights on. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So the psalmist is asking God, open my eyes, turn the lights on that I can behold things out of your word. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts. So he's asking for understanding. God, give me understanding so I know what you're talking about. Verse 34, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. So the Bible is not only God breathed, not only God inspired, but when we're in the word, it's God illumined. He's the one who flicks the light on. He's the one that gives us understanding to get it, to grasp it, to lay hold of it. I remember when I started coming to youth group here when I was 11, and you know, the guy would talk about Jesus, whatever, let's just play games, I don't care. And then over time, like, I still wasn't a believer, and yet he'd be talking about these things. And there was something going on, you know, I thought it was just my own thinking, but looking back, I realized it's God working and illuminating what's being said out of his word. And he'd be talking about different, you know, stuff about how to act, or how we speak, or how we treat other people. And I was like, you know what? I want to apply this to my life. This is starting to make sense. So it's kind of like a little bit of like pre-illumination. I didn't really have the Holy Spirit in me, but God's Spirit was working to help me understand the word. And then, you know, like Steve would share with us about Christ often. And then there was one time where another speaker was sharing about Christ. And it was like the light literally just turned on. I didn't even believe in God before that talk. And then as he's speaking, I'm like, he's talking about a broken relationship with a God that I didn't believe in 5 minutes ago. And I'm so convicted knowing that my relationship with God is broken and that needs to be right. There's this illumination where the word became real and I could grasp it and I knew how to apply it. I knew what I needed to do next. And now 20 years later, have you ever had that experience where you're reading the Bible and you're like, I've read this before. But God brings it to life. There's something new that he points out. And sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes he points out, yeah, you know, this thing in your life is not quite right. Or this thing in your life, you were to hear, and now I'm taking you to hear. And other times, there's just this freshness and this joy. You're reading something that you've read so many times before. Last night I was reading Psalm 139, and it says that, I've never noticed this before. Like, how many times do you think, you know, you've read Psalm 39? I don't know how many times. I never noticed this before. He hems us in. And then he places his hand upon us. And so I read it in all these different translations. He surrounds us and we can feel his hand upon our shoulder. Like, oh, yes, Lord. I'm ready to go to bed. And as I'm walking down the hallway to my bedroom, I hear the door from my kids' room, click, and I watched my daughter Charlotte, "Daddy, I don't feel very good." And then, you know, about half an hour of all the puking and everything else that comes with it from the flu. And I was like, you know what? He hems me in and I can feel his hand upon my shoulder. There's just something that was illuminated to me in that moment. And in that moment, he illuminates his word to us. And that was a moment of transformation for me because I wasn't really looking forward to that experience. I didn't really want to go through that gross time with my daughter. But there's this illumination. So his inspired and his illuminated word brings transformation to our lives. We can expect it in at least three ways. Knowing God's will, knowing about God, so knowing kind of about who he is and how he works and stuff like that. And then number three, meeting with God directly in and through his word. So knowing God's will, knowing his words. If there's areas in your life where you're unaware of God's will, and then you find his will in his word, and you begin to apply it to your life, there is going to be transformation. If there's an area in your life where you're living contrary to God's will, whether or not you're aware of it or not, when you become aware of that area that needs to change, things are going to be different. Sometimes it's something we know about, and sometimes it's something we don't know about. I remember walking into my aunt's backyard one time, I was about seven maybe, and I don't know if I've been watching shows about snakes or something like that, but in her backyard, this is in the Chosen, so there's no pythons there. I see this giant python hanging out of her tree. It's draped from one branch to the other branch. And I run back inside, and right before I tell everybody and totally embarrass myself, I'm like, let me just look one more time. There's no pythons in the Chosen. And I look out the window, and what it was this braided orange and black rope. It was a rope swing that had gotten caught from one branch to the other. And something in my mind thought, wow, this is a python. I need to be afraid. And then when I took another look and realized the truth, I was like, oh. That's totally not what I thought it was. I was able to then interact with that in a totally different way. Sometimes that's what we're going on along in our lives, and we think that something's a certain way, and we receive truth, and everything changes if we're willing to apply that truth to our lives. So we know God's will. We know his words. Maybe we're acting a certain way in our marriage, and then we see that the word of God says, husbands, don't be harsh with your wives. And you're like, ooh, thanks. I should probably apply that. Fathers, if you have children, fathers, don't exasperate your children. I'm like, okay, I thought I just wanted them to succeed. I just thought I wanted them to do well. But if I apply that truth not to exasperate my children, that's probably going to change things. Or when we're speaking at our youth group, we're always speaking with at least one Bible verse. Even if it's just like a topical thing, I always have one Bible verse kind of like stuffed in there. Because it says in Jeremiah 9 that God says, is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? Because we run into people with walls built up around their hearts, and we build up walls around our hearts, and we say, God, you can't come into this little area. I'm going to build a little house around this. And he says, is not my word like fire, and I burn that down? Is not my word not like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? So if there's hardness in your heart, whether it's there because of rebellion, or whether it's there because of hurt, his word can bring healing, and can break through all that, and bring freedom. Transformation. When you transform a landscape, like you guys have seen what's going on next door, obviously, when you transform a landscape, you need power. Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? When you transform a life, you need accuracy. You need accuracy. There needs to be power and there needs to be accuracy. If you need reconstructive surgery, you don't want somebody to just do it with a hammer. You want there to be accuracy. So there needs to be power for transformation. There needs to be accuracy. Hebrews 4 says that the word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. You guys are laughing. Am I doing something funny?
Yeah.
Busted.
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 Busted. Pastor's kid.
I don't know her.
That's not fair.
Okay, so is not my word like a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's the accuracy of the word of God, the sharpness, the precision to transform. So we know God's will, his words, we apply them. We know about God's ways. Man, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands of who's done it and who hasn't done it, but do it. Please, please do it. Read the Bible from cover to cover, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. Because you'll understand and you'll see like facets of God that you've never really seen before, because we kind of get stuck in our parts of the Bible that we like. And I do it too. There's books of the Bible that I don't like reading because they scare me. I don't like Ezekiel. It terrifies me. And last year I read through it, and I read commentaries about it, and I was like, oh God, like there's so many things you're doing here in the midst of this brutal stuff that's going on with your people. Did you know that God sings? Did you know that God sings over you? Zephaniah 3, he sings and rejoices over you with singing. Do you know that God whistles in Zechariah 10? Do you know that God longs for people? Do you know that God longs for Jerusalem like a mother hen over chicks? Like, that's not how we think about God sometimes. Do you know that the wicked melt like wax before him? That's not how we think about God sometimes. If you read the Word, if you read it through from cover to cover, you'll start to see this more of who God is and more of what he's like and how he's interacted throughout history and his character. And then number three, we're transformed by this inspired and illuminated Word because we meet with God directly. Romans 10, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So that's saying when we hear the words of Christ, that's where we're actually going to meet with him and be able to respond to him in faith. Like I mentioned before, I didn't really know what was being said, and then all of a sudden somebody's speaking the Word of Christ, and my heart is open, my mind is open and illuminated by the Holy Spirit to put my faith and my trust in Christ. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21, it says, the Lord revealed himself by the word of the Lord. He revealed himself by the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit can meet with you directly in and through your reading of the word. So we shouldn't just come to the word expecting to learn about God. We shouldn't just come to the word expecting how to learn to obey God. Yes, we should, but we shouldn't just come to the word in those ways. We should come to the word expecting to meet directly with God. So ask him to open your eyes, to flip the lights on, to illuminate it to you. Ask him to see his will and his ways revealed in his word. And God, would you meet with us in and through your word as we read it, as we listen to it? We had a youth who came to our youth group for a little while. He would get up during the talks, I've probably mentioned this before, and he would yell at me, how can that be true? And he'd be swearing at me, and then he'd stomp out. He'd be like, okay, man, we love you. Come back if you want. No, I'm never coming back to this place. I hate God, and I want his head on a platter. So he'd come back. I'm like, okay. And I start speaking. Same thing would happen again. One time, I'm speaking that way, and he comes up to the front to the music stand, and he snatches the notes off, and he starts yelling at me. And all the youth are like, oh, here we go again. He said, how did you know this about me? Did you write this for me? I said, well, I didn't know that about you, and I didn't write this particularly for you as an individual, but maybe you should sit down because maybe God wants to say something to you. Okay. A couple months later, he gives his life to Christ. He puts his faith and his trust in Christ. And the hunger for the word was crazy. Like he was reading the Bible all the time. He'd be phoning leaders, asking them questions about this. What does this mean in John? And he had a particular interest in Revelation, which really was tough for us. He's like, what does this mean in Revelation? And we're like, oh, we're working on it. We're trying to figure that out. And then that all kind of dropped off. And he's still a Christian. He's still saved. But his life's kind of gone from here to kind of, he's just kind of here. And he would admit that. He'd say, yeah, you know, I'm still a believer, but I'm not really doing very well. And we say, well, are you still reading the Bible like you used to? Are you still in the Word? No. So Christians, church, are we still in the Word like we used to be? I know for me, I don't know if I can say this, but yeah, like, man, I'm not. And I can recognize it in my life. Like even last night when I shared with you, I was like, wow, this is so good, God. Why am I not doing this more throughout the day instead of just that one set time? And maybe you have a day or a job or you do a lot of driving. Get the Bible on, I was about to say CD, but that's so old school. I just dated myself, right? You get to get it on your podcast. It's all free now. You get the entire Bible for free. You can listen to it. I was driving down from Lanceville up in Nanaimo last night, and I just had Romans. And I'm driving, oh man, we've been given the spirit of adoption. We're set free. And I'm like praising the Lord. I'm like, no, I'm not flipping you off. I'm just praising God. Don't worry. So listen to the word. If you're doing dishes, I remember when I was in Bible school, I was doing dishes one time, listening to the Bible, and I just fell over because I was like, oh, I'm just like meeting with you, Lord, in your word. And that doesn't take any extra time. So listen to the Bible. Read the Bible. Be in it. Allow it to be a place where you meet with the Lord. Anyway, I've gone over my time.
Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that people have given their lives for. Thank you for your word that transforms our lives. And we expect transformation when we meet with you in and through your word. Sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth.